from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
Hello, VOI listener. How are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz and RRI Digital Mobile App.
Here is the news for the headlines. Minister Zulkifli Hasan affirms Indonesia will stop importing salt for consumption in 2025. United Arab Emirates Ambassador to Indonesia Abdullah Salam appreciates strategic collaboration after President Prabowo's visit to the United Arab Emirates. I'm Nuka Kusmawati, now the news in details. Let's begin with the national news, where Coordinating Minister for Food Zulkifli Hasan stated that the government will stop importing salt for consumption in 2025 and focus more on increasing domestic production. Reported by Antara after attending the limited ministerial coordination meeting on food in Jakarta on Thursday, Minister Zulkifli Hasan said that the commodity is targeted to achieve self-sufficiency in 2027. He also explained that the Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries is responsible for ensuring industrial salt productions meet national needs. While the industry is asked to report on salt needs to be self-sufficiency in 2027. He added that the industry is asked to report its salt needs transparently for accurate planning, because in the next 2 years the stop of industrial salt imports is also in force. Ambassador of the United Arab Emirates to Indonesia, Abdullah Salam Al-Dahiri, praised President Prabowo Subianto's visit to the United Arab Emirates on November 23rd last year. Reported by RRI during a media meeting in Jakarta on Thursday, he called the visit a special and historic moment that discussed many strategic collaboration. Abdullah Salam also said President Prabowo carried three main pillars during the visit, one of which was the food security program. The target is to ensure Indonesia's food sufficiency in the next 2 to 3 years. According to Abdullah Salam, the United Arab Emirates and Indonesia agreed to strengthen collaboration in the food sector through investment and knowledge sharing. United Arab Emirates institutions related to food and agriculture will also support this strategy in Indonesia. In addition to food, he said that other discussions included a housing strategy with a target of 3 million affordable homes per year for 10 years. Downstreaming and industrial development were also focused, utilizing Indonesia's rich natural resources such as nickel and bauxite. Ambassador Abdullah is optimistic that this collaboration will bring great benefits to the people of Indonesia. Deputy Chairman of the People's Consultative Assembly, Edi Suparno, has voiced President Prabowo Subianto's commitment to tackling the climate crisis in front of Indian and Nepalese politicians while attending an international forum in Jakarta held by Indian non-governmental organization Swaniti. In a statement quoted by Antara on Friday, Edi said that President Prabowo has concrete steps to overcome the climate crisis through global collaboration. One of them is Prabowo's commitment when he met UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres at the G20 forum to build global collaboration to face the climate crisis. He revealed that climate change is not only a threat to one country, but a global crisis that must be faced together. Therefore, Edi hopes that Indonesia, India, and Nepal will build a joint alliance in policies to overcome the climate crisis. Edi added, Indonesia, under the leadership of President Prabowo, is ready to take the initiative of climate leadership and hopes that many countries will participate in it, including India and Nepal. The Indonesian Marine Security Agency Bakamla and the Philippines Coast Guard or PCG patrolled together in the Sulawesi Sea and the Sulu Sea in the Philippines-Indonesia Coordinated Patrol 2024. Reported by Antara, Bakamla's Public Relations Officer Captain Bakamla Yohanes in Jakarta on Thursday explained that his side deployed one of its patrol vessels, KN Singalaut 402, while the Philippines Coast Guard deployed one of its vessels, BRP Gabriela. Deputy for Operations and Training of Bakamla, Rear Admiral Andy Abdul Aziz, when opening the patrol in Manado, North Sulawesi on Thursday, explained that the patrol was a form of friendship and joint commitment to maintain marine security in the border waters of the two countries. During the opening ceremony, four cross-border crimes that the two countries are aware of were presented, namely fish theft, smuggling, drug trafficking, and illegal sea border crossing. Let's move on to the international news, where the Australian Parliament has passed a law banning children under the age of 16 from using social media. Reported by erari.co.id, Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese said there is a direct relationship between the use of social media and poor mental health in young people. This bill was previously approved by Parliament with 102 votes in favour and 13 votes against. However, the ratification of this law still needs Senate approval. The Guardian reports the majority of senators have expressed their approval, with 34 senators agreeing and only 19 people rejecting. This regulation sets fines of up to 50 million Australian dollars, equivalent to 516.5 billion rupiah. The fine is applied to social media companies that violate. However, the details of the implementation of this new rule will be formulated after the trial of age verification technology in 2025. This rule will not take to effect until the next 12 months. Several platforms such as Snapchat, TikTok, X, Instagram, Reddit, and Facebook are expected to fall within the scope of this ban. Meanwhile, platforms such as YouTube are excluded for educational reasons. Saudi Arabia will host the COP16 conference at the United Nations Convention to Combat Desertification, UNCCD, on land degradation and desertification next week. As AFP reported on Friday, desertification is an issue close to Saudi Arabia, which has one of the largest deserts on earth. Saudi Arabia's Deputy Environment Minister Osama Fakiha said his country is experiencing desertification, the worst form of land degradation. Land degradation disrupts ecosystems and makes land less productive for agriculture, which causes food shortage and spurs migration. Meanwhile, UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres called the meeting a moment to protect and restore land and tackle drought. The last conference, which took place in Ivory Coast in 2022, resulted in a commitment to accelerate the restoration of 1 billion hectares of degraded land by 2038. However, the UN Convention to Combat Desertification, which brings together 196 countries and the European Union, now says 1.5 billion hectares must be restored by the end of the decade to combat crises, including increasing drought. Germany said on Thursday it had offered NATO to deploy Patriot air defense system to Poland from January to help protect arms supply lines to Ukraine in its war against Russia. German Defense Minister Boris Pistorius was quoted by AFP as saying support teams should be available for deployment to Poland from January 2025, and the system could be deployed for up to 6 months. Germany previously sent three Patriot units to eastern Poland in 2023 after a Polish village suffered a deadly explosion, believed to have come from a stray Ukrainian air defense missile. The deployment ends in November 2023. The US-made Patriot air defense system can be used to combat enemy missiles and aircraft. Poland, a member of the European Union and NATO, is one of the Ukraine's closest allies and serves as an important logistic hub for Western's military aid to Kiev. Now let's move on to commentary for today.
Today's commentary is on International Day of Solidarity with the Palestinian people. November 29th, every year since 1978, has been commemorated as the International Day of Solidarity with the Palestinian people. This year, the UN Committee for the Implementation of Human Rights of the Palestinians held a special meeting on Tuesday to commemorate the International Day of Solidarity with the Palestinian people. Chairman of the committee, Cheikh Niang, said the special meeting to commemorate the International Day of Solidarity with the Palestinian people was intended as a profound reminder of unfulfilled promises, denied rights, and historical injustices. Niang highlighted this year's commemoration, which took place amidst unprecedented suffering and tragedy. He revealed more than 44,000 Palestinians have been killed in Gaza over the past 400 days, and more than half of them are women and children. This is a humanitarian disaster unmatched since World War II. In order to commemorate the International Day of Solidarity with the Palestinian people, China's President Xi Jinping sent a letter to the Conference on the Commemoration of the International Day of Solidarity with the Palestinian people held by the UN on Tuesday. In his letter, President Xi Jinping emphasized that China always supports the just efforts of the Palestinian people to restore their legitimate rights. China firmly supports Palestine becoming an official member of the United Nations, as well as the holding of a larger, more authoritative and more effective international peace conference on Palestine. China, together with the international community, will continue to push for a ceasefire and stop the killings. In addition, it supports the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestine Refugees in the Near East, or UNRWA, to continue providing humanitarian assistance to the people of the Gaza Strip. Like the rest of the international community, China also pushes for the Palestinian issue to return to the right track of the two-state solution. It is hoped that the Palestinian issue can be resolved as soon as possible in a comprehensive, just, and permanent manner. From year to year, the International Day of Solidarity with the Palestinian people has indeed been widely commemorated by various elements of government, society, community, organization, governmental and non-governmental institutions in the world. However, even though it is widely commemorated, challenges still exist. Among others, the increasingly complex Israeli-Palestinian conflict and the full of obstacles efforts towards peace. Despite facing various challenges, there is hope towards peace. Hope is what keeps the Palestinian people from stopping fighting. Hope is also what makes the international world stand in solidarity with the struggle of the Palestinian people. The solidarity of the international community for the Palestinian people is not just a symbolic movement, but also a real movement or action that involves every individual, community, organizations, and institutions, such as lobbying the government and international organization to take action, conducting educational campaigns to raise awareness about the history and reality of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. That was commentary.
That was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. I'll begin today in history with November 29, 1947, when the UN legalized the divisions of Palestine. Since the beginning of the 20th century, the Palestinian territories previously inhabited by Arabs began to be inhabited by Jews from Europe, who considered the territory as their homeland. Resolving the conflict between Arabs and Jews in Palestine, the United Nations UN General Assembly passed Resolution 181. The resolution divided Palestine into two parts, each with an Arab majority and a Jewish majority, as well as the UN-administrated city of Jerusalem. Although this resolution failed to be implemented, November 29 is now commemorated as the International Day of Solidarity with the Palestinian people every year. Let's move it on to November 29, 1987, when a South Korean plane explodes in midair. On November 29, 1987, South Korean airline Korean Air Flight 858 exploded in mid-air over the Andaman Sea, near the Indian Ocean. The plane exploded while flying from Baghdad, Iraq to Seoul, South Korea. Investigations showed that the explosion was caused by a bomb in the passenger's cabin planted by two North Korean agents. The explosions killed all 104 passengers and 11 crew members, almost all of whom were South Koreans. Then today in history with November 29, 2023, when Henry Kissinger passed away. Henry Kissinger was an American diplomat and political scientist who served as United States Secretary of State from 1973 to 1977. Under the administration of Richard Nixon and Gerald Ford, he also served as the country's national security advisor from 1969 to 1975. During his tenure, Kissinger played a main role in establishing diplomatic relations between the United States and the People's Republic of China and ending the Vietnam War. However, he was criticized for the United States' support for dictatorial governments in countries such as Argentina and Chile. Kissinger passed away in Kent, Connecticut, United States on November 29, 2023 at the age of 100.
Still listening to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Next segment, we present you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Head of the National Economic Council, Dan Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, expressed optimism about the development of U.S. investment in Indonesia during President Donald Trump's administration, which will begin early next year. After attending the 12th U.S.-Indonesia Investment Summit in Jakarta on Tuesday, Luhut Binsar Panjaitan said that investment might be better thanks to Trump's pragmatic personality. Luhut also said that Trump's response to investment potential in Indonesia and the dynamics of U.S. investment in Indonesia in the future will greatly depend on how Indonesia provides assistance and handle U.S. businessmen who are interested in investing. Therefore, he said, the Indonesian government should pay attention to the opportunities that will emerge from the U.S. under President Trump and facilitate the licensing and regulatory processes for them. According to Luhut, there should be no regulations that hinder investment in Indonesia. Previously, the head of the Trade Policy Agency of the Trade Ministry, Fajarini Puntodewi, said that Donald Trump's victory in the U.S. presidential election would have an impact on Indonesian exports as one of the main U.S. trading partners. This is because Trump is expected to impose an additional tax rate of 10 to 20% on all goods entering the United States, he said on November 19, 2024. However, Puntodewi added, during Trump's first term in 2017 to 2021, Indonesia's export trend to the United States actually increased and experienced a surplus. The trend continued to increase sharply under Joe Biden's administration. Therefore, Trump's future leadership is expected not to bring major changes in export performance. In addition, Center of Economics and Law Studies Celios economist Nailul Huda appealed to the Indonesian government to strengthen the domestic economy to anticipate the effects of Trump's victory. It is because Trump has a less harmonious relationship with China, which has resulted in a trade war. This condition hinders the flow of goods from other countries to enter the two countries. According to Huda, the effect is that Indonesian products could be increasingly pressured, including textile products. This pressure could have an impact on economic growth from the side of foreign trade, which is being held back.
Thank you. yang bangsanya tidak melupakan sejarah
agar mengelola negara ini dengan baik.
Tidak ada lagi yang berseteru.
Jaya selamanya.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Thank you for joining us, the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next, we present information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom on Indonesian Wonder.
For those of you who love extreme tourism, you can try the sensation of river tubing in Bihei tourist village Gorontalo. Dainea River that stretches through this village offers a 500 meters river tubing track with clear water and views over large rocks. The location is in Asparaga district. To reach this village, you will travel by land transportation from Jalaluddin Airport Gorontalo, about 67 kilometers or almost 2 hours away. Tourism village is a buffer zone for the Nantu Wildlife Reserve area. This village was included in the pioneering category because it was only inaugurated as a tourist village in 2022. The main attraction of Bihei village is Daina, a river that flows along the village area with very clear water. Tourists can enjoy a 500-meter river tubing experience, passing through several adrenaline-challenging rapids. There is also a natural pool with a depth of about 3 meters, which is an ideal location to relax and play in the water. For animal lovers, Bihei Tourist Village is also a destination to see the endemic animals of Sulawesi, babi rusa, also called pig deer. This rare animal lives in several forest parks and national parks in Sulawesi, one of which is the Grand Forest Park or Tahura B.J. Habibie in Gorontalo. Bihei Tourist Village is located at the gate of Tahura B.J. Habibie. In addition to its natural beauty, the people of Bihei Village are also active in producing brown sugar and various fruits that can be used as a souvenir for tourists. Thank you.
find the better days. If not today, must be tomorrow. If not today, must be. These are the better days. If not today, must be tomorrow.
Life completely. My
are still listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next program, we present to you Miscellany.
A team of UGM students from Bulak Sumur Consulting has won the Social Logistics Challenge organized by the Global Business School Network GBSN Online in early November. The team managed to beat 103 teams from 21 countries from various parts of the world. One of the team members, Najwa Wakiah, said that she felt proud and happy for being the first team from Indonesia to win this competition. Najwa explained that in the competition, the student team had to complete a social logistic challenge case study. During the competition, the UGM, or University of Gajah Mada students team, was faced with problem of inequality in the distribution of health resources in remote areas. Many communities in rural or remote areas face great difficulties in accessing essential medical needs, including medicine, medical equipment, and basic health services. According to Najwa, difficulties in access exacerbate health disparities between urban and rural areas and hinder progress in achieving good health and well-being. Najwa explained the supply chain system developed by the UGM student team is by utilizing mobile technology and data analytics. The system can be used to assess and predict medical needs in each region more accurately. Najwa added the idea promoted by the team of FEB UGM students emphasize improving health outcomes, developing inclusive and resilient infrastructure, and promoting sustainable practices to reduce environmental impact. By addressing the logistic gap through technology and cross-sector collaboration, the solution is seen as not only improving access to health in remote areas, but also becoming a model for applying social logistic principles to address various social challenges at the community level.
Lalu biar berlalu
Thank you for still listening to Voice of Indonesia only on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App, and shortwave frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz. For the next segment, we present a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners of Voice of Indonesia, it's my pleasure to greet you again on the Music Corner program. A segment that presents all the beautiful harmony of regional pop songs from all over the archipelago. On this Friday's edition, I would like to invite you to get to know Yogyakarta through the meaningful song entitled Kidang Talun. The song Kidang Talun was written by R.C. Harjasubrata, a musical maestro who is credited for preserving Japanese culture. The song, though it is simple, has a profound message. Kidang Talun tells the story of three animals, a deer, a mouse, and an elephant, that symbolize behavior. The lyrics tell the story of kidang or deer, who eats talun not slowly, reminding us about patience. The little mouse that comes forward to fight symbolizes courage within limitations, while the big elephant, with its careful steps, reminds us to remain wise and careful when one day becoming an influential figure in society. Kidang Talun is a song not only to accompany games, but also to be sung by parents in a bid to mold the noble personality of Japanese children. Here is Kidang Talun, sung by Siho Acoustic. Enjoy listening to the song.
Kidang Talun, mangan kacang talun, mil kedemil, mil kedemil, si kidang mangan lembayo. Tikus piti, duwe anak siji, titit cuit, titit cuit, maju perang wani mati. Gajah belang, soko tanah Plembang, nuk legen, nuk legen, nuk gede nemeh podo gunung. Kita talun, mangan kacang talon mil kadamil mil kadamil si kitang mangan lembayong tikus piti duwe anak siji titit cuit titit cuit maju perang wani mati gajah belang sekotanah plembang nu gedene meh podo gunung
bersamamu. Buah nangka kulitnya berduri, tadi sangka hatiku tercuri. Bukan merajuk, ku sungguh cinta.
Cinta biarkan ada dan kita takkan berpisah. Hanya maut yang bisa memisahkan cinta.
Aku akan berjanji demi bumi yang ku pijak, kan ku dampingi dirimu selamanya.
Apa kata dunia,
apa kata dunia?
Bila ku tak punya cinta? Apa kata dunia bila ku tak bersamamu?
Buah nangka kulitnya berduri, tak disangka hatiku tercuri.
Bukan merajuk,
ku sungguh cinta. Apa kata dunia bila melihatmu menangis?
Buah semangka di dasar laut.
Tadi sangka hatiku terpaut.
Ku kan berjanji
selalu bersamamu.
Kita biarkan ada dan kita takkan berpisah. Hanya maut yang bisa memisahkan cinta. Aku akan berjanji demi bumi yang ku pijak,
dan ku dampingi dirimu selamanya.
Aku akan berjanji demi bumi yang ku pijak, dan ku dampingi dirimu selamanya. Apa kata dunia bila ku tak punya cinta?
Apa kata dunia bila ku tak bersamamu?
Buah nangka kulitnya berduri,
tadi sangka hatiku tercuri.
Bukan merajuk,
ku sungguh cinta.
Apa kata
padanya, duhai
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republik Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on vonews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
VOI listener, thank you so much for listening the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Send your feedback to our email, voilisteners@gmail.com, voilisteners@gmail.com, or to our social media, Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or Instagram at voi_official. I'm Rahma signing out. Bye for now.